Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, The Characteristics of Rishabhdev, and we are on text number 15. So it's not written on the board, so I will chant it myself. Yad yad tirsanya charitam tat tat anu vartate loka yad yad whatever shirsanya by the leading personalities acharitam performed. Tat tat. That. Anuvartate. Follow. Loka. The people in general. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. Responsibly, please. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. Purport. A similar verse is also found in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 21. Does anyone know it? Yad yad atadatri shrestas tat tadevi tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anavartate. It is essential for human society to have a section of men perfectly trained as qualified brahmanas according to the instructions of Vedic knowledge. Those below the brahminical qualification, administrators, merchants, and workers should take instructions from those ideal people who are considered to be intellectuals. In this way, everyone can be elevated to the highest transcendental position and be freed from material attachment. The material world is described by Lord Krishna himself as Yukalayam Ashasvatam, a temporary place of misery. No one can stay here even if he makes a compromise with misery. One has to give up this body and accept another, which may not even be a human body. As soon as one gets a material body, he becomes Dehabrit or Dehi. In other words, he is subjected to all the material conditions. The leaders of society must be so ideal that by following them one can be relieved from the clutches of material existence. Om Gana Trimandasya Gananjana Sadakaya Chaksurun Militan Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Vano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandayam Siguro Sita Pada Kamalam Sigurun Vaistavangsta Si Rupam Sagatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitang Tang Tadivam Sadvetam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Si Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakan Vitangsta He Krishna Kruna Sindo Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpratru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pangam Langayate Garam, Yakripatamaham Bande, Sigurundina Taranam. So I was reading in the 10th canto, commentary by Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur, that there is the speaker of the Bhagavatam, there is the inquirer of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and there is the listener of a discourse on Srimad Bhagavatam. Now the speaker actually gets the most benefit, the most purification, because there's no chance for the speaker's mind to wander. He has to be focused on the subject matter, or else how will he be able to deliver? How will he be able to speak? So that is the meditation on the message of Krishna is the most intense by the speaker. Now the next personality that gets the next level of purification is the inquirer. Now inquirer is also a listener, but he is listening with rapt attention, and he is sometimes finding something that the speaker says that he doesn't really understand, and he really wants to understand the absolute truth. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupiyantite. Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, to those who are constantly devoted and worshipping me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So he's hankering for this understanding about Krishna. And so therefore he's awake. He is attentive. And then there is the listener. Now the listener, he's also getting definitely some benefit. He might be a little more casual in his listening than the inquirer, but still, he definitely retains something. And of course there's different levels of listeners. And unfortunately for myself, I have a little difficulty in this regard. And that's why I have to not be present here during the regular Srimad Bhagavatam class and hear it on the radio. Because I have to be doing something. I'm cooking, I'm getting the waking up the deities, because if I sit down, then I have a tendency to fall asleep. So I have to be a little active. So we make adjustments in our lives to so that we can become great men. Now this becoming a great man in this regard and in relation to the purport is actually to becoming a brahmana. But of course, Rajarishis were there, which were kshatriyas that also had brahminical qualifications. And generally, the shloka in the Bhagavad Gita, and it's also half of it is here, yad yad achodatri shrestas tatadevi tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokus tananavartante, that whatever action a great man does, a common man follows, and he makes sure he does exemplary acts, so to speak, because people are going to follow him. And also in regards to this, later on in the next chapter of this canto, there's the sloka, Guru Nasasyat, Swajani Nasasyat. It's a tongue twister. It's actually a hard one to remember. Let me see. Does anyone know the number? It's 5-5. I think it's 13. No, it's not 13. Maybe it's 16. We'll see here real quick. If not, then we'll move on. Oh, here it is. It's 18. Gurur nasasyat swajano nasasyat pita nasasyat janani nasasyat divam natachyan napatishtasasyan namocha yadya samapretimrichu. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a mother, a husband, or a worshipable demigod. So this is quite a tall order, and most people become one of these things one day or another. And it's described that one should become a great man if one's a mother, great man or woman, a mother, a father, of course a spiritual master, a demigod. Because if you have any position of authority over others, then people are going to look up to you and they're going to follow you and copy you and aspire to be like you. So one may have some position of authority like a president, a prime minister, but if his, and he may have some abilities in the material realm as far as rulership. But if his behavior isn't ideal to go along with that material ability, if his character is not developed and he doesn't have some moral standards and some spiritual standards, then it's actually a great hindrance for the public, because he will not be leading them back to the spiritual world. He will just maybe be giving them some material facilities. And he may even have some good qualities as a human being. But it's described in the Bhagavatam that they're all useless if one is not a devotee of the Lord. That all the good qualities of the demigods automatically become imbibed in the devotees. But if one's not a devotee, all the so-called good qualities are simply useless because they are temporary. One does not possess something that is temporary. Just like these bodies, they are temporary. We do not possess these bodies because these bodies, they're going to be taken away from us. So similarly, someone who may be temporarily exhibiting some good qualities due to some past material pious activities does not actually possess these qualities, because these qualities will go in due course of time. It's described in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, they're constantly competing with one another for supremacy. Sometimes goodness is very prominent and one is a very nice person, caring about others, digging wells, planting trees, and some mundane welfare work, feeding people, etc., etc. Other times the mode of passion is prominent, then he's just thinking about himself and what he can enjoy right now in relationship to his senses. He's not thinking long term, he's thinking only of now, specifically in terms of wealth and enjoyment with the senses. And then the mode of ignorance, when that becomes prominent, then one is just in endeavoring just to keep the body fed, and he thinks that whatever type of work he's doing to earn his livelihood, that is all in all. That means everything to him. And he's very prone to intoxication and bad habits, bad language, so on and so forth. So this sloka is basically dealing with acts. Now, that is half of it. There's a saying, I don't know where it comes from, Srila Prabhupada quoted it, that precept, there's precept, and what's the other word? one is higher than the other. Anyway, one's activities are higher than one's words. All right? Precept is higher than preaching. Okay, that one who behaves properly, he is in a higher position than one who speaks nicely. And it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Antilila, Sanatana Goswami is speaking to Haridas Thakur, and he says, some people behave very well, but do not preach. In other words, they can't speak so nicely. This is in relationship to devotees. Whereas others, they preach, they can speak very nicely about Krishna, but they do not behave very properly. I knew one devotee, he was actually a sannyasi, who struggled with his sadhana immensely. This was in the early 1980s. He wasn't chanting his rounds, and he wasn't going to the morning program except for when he was scheduled to give class. He would wake up when it was his day to give class. He would wake up, take a shower, you know, put on his clothes and put on his tilak, run down to the temple room, and he gave an excellent class. He could quote from Shastra, and everyone is so enlivened about his class because he had such an ability to speak, and he had a very good memory, and so he could remember what he had read, but he was not able to follow very well. And later, he left, actually quit following, practicing Krishna consciousness. Now he's back, because he's a devotee, but he was struggling. Now he's doing much better in his older age. But this can happen. So it's very important that one not only speak nicely about Krishna, but one must also set a very good example of how a devotee should act, how he should behave. These two goes together, and this is what Sanatan Goswami said, what Haridas Thakur, that he chanted the holy name all day long, and he had such exemplary behavior, he had such humility. It's when he went to Jagannath Puri, it's not that he went up to the gate, the guys at the gate, and say, listen, you know, I'm not this body. Although born in a Muslim family, we're not these bodies. Now I'm very nicely practicing spiritual life. I'm even doing it better than you. Why don't you let me, I should be able to go into the temple. What is this? He didn't go to the king, he didn't, complain. He very humbly took his position, and thinking himself very low, born in a bad family, bad sangskaras, and chanted his 192 rounds a day, you know, and meditating on the chakra of the temple. And it's not that he had to go and see Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath came to see him every day. Lord Chaitanya came and visited Haridas Thakur every day. So this is one of the qualifications of good behavior is humility. And Haridas Thakur exhibited that. So in relationship to Maharaj Rishabhdev, or in relationship to kings, in relationship to kshatriyas, there is a lot to do with action. They have a lot on their plate, kings. I mean, it's not that kings were just good warriors. You know, we think of kshatriyas, or they're good fighters, you know, that they can defeat other people. They're stronger, they're more talented in using arms. And that's a kshatriya. That is one small aspect of being a kshatriya. You look in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto in the appearance, the advent of Lord Krishna. And we're very, all of it, this pastime is very prominent in our minds right now. It was just 2 days ago. And we look at Vasudev and how he was able to handle himself in a very adverse situation where he had just gotten married, he was on the chariot with his wife, and his brother-in-law is driving the chariot, and the voice coming from the ether, which in the commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it was by the demigods, because they wanted Krishna very urgently to appear. So they wanted some difficulties to appear with his devotees so that Krishna would come and save his devotees. So Vasudev, Kamsa grabbed the hair of Devaki. The voice said, you don't know, but the eighth son of Vasudev is going to kill you. And he immediately went and grabbed the hair of his sister and took out his sword and was about ready to chop off her head. So Vasudev, being a kshatriya, he understood this Kamsa, he's a much more powerful warrior than me. So I'm not going to be able to defeat him physically with arms. And actually, Kamsa was a lot more powerful than practically everybody else. As the pastime unfolds, all the Yadu dynasty, they had to run away. You know, these are great warriors. And Kamsa, sometimes Krishna empowers someone with very demoniac qualities to be more powerful than you, just like in this world today. We have no power over the administrators. Just like we want to get permission to get a banner in the airport advertising Mayapur. And all we could do was put a picture of like the Samadhi and Sri Mayapur. We couldn't put any preaching, because if they said, well, if we let you do it, then the Christians are going to want, and the Sikhs and the Muslims are going to want. So we have to just, you can have a picture, but that's it. So we have no potency over the government at this time to really propagate. In a secular state, we got to give free rein to everybody and so on and so forth. We do what we can. So Vasudev, he did what he could, because he, as a qualified kshatriya, he was not only a qualified warrior, but he was also qualified with his words. So first of all, he tried the argument to Kamsa that would take care of everything, saying that you are the pride of your family, okay, the Bhoja dynasty, and great heroes, they praise your qualities, and how could such a qualified person as you kill a woman? And it's not only a woman, it's your sister. And it's not only a woman, and it's not only a sister, but she's just gotten married. You know, everyone will think, so badly of you. So, and it's described by Vishwanath in the purport in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, that Vasudev used three diplomatic principles. He used sama, pacification with kind words. in invoking relationship and glorification of qualities, like how great a person you are and how helpful you are to others, and also beta, creating dissension. So he did all these three things, and in various ways, and sometimes they overlap one another. And he continued on when Kamsa, after telling him that, hey, you know, you're such a great man, you're the pride of your family, the great heroes praise you, and you have such good qualifications, how can you do this? That Kamsa still keeps hold of Devaki's hair with getting his sword out. So he's quick. So he notices, he's continuing. So he continues on. And then he says, oh great hero. You know, continuing with his praise of good qualities. One who takes birth, he's sure to die. You're going to die. And my eighth son, that's a long time from now. So, and you're going to, no question, everyone dies, so why worry about it? Death is born with a body. One might die today or after hundreds of years, but death is sure for every living entity. And then he said, when the present body turns to dust and is again reduced to five elements, the proprietor of the body, the living being, automatically receives another body. So what's the big deal, you know? This body is not so important. Was showing a little restraint when Vasudeva speaking so nicely to him and then speaking a little glorifying as being a great hero. And then he says, just as a person traveling on the road rests one foot on the ground, then lifts up the other, you know, you leave that place and you move on step by step, or as a worm or a caterpillar on a leaf climbs up one leaf and then goes to another leaf. One receives, one gives up the body and gives up the previous body. And the conditioned soul takes shelter of another body and then gives up the one he had before. So what's the big deal? So he's trying to convince him that, okay, you're going to die. That's going to happen anyway. My eighth son is, yeah, I don't know who my eighth son is going to be. And, you know, sometimes we get children that, you know, aren't very good. There's some examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam of that. King Vena was a horrible son. So then, and then he says to him, at the time of death, yang vapi svaram bhavam jajantante kalevaram, according to the thinking, feeling, and willing of the mind, one receives a particular body. In other words, the body develops according to the activities of the mind. And so, you know, we should be very careful and become purified in our minds. Before, and so that should be our endeavors. And then he says, when the luminaries in the sky, such as the moon, the sun, and the stars, are reflected in liquids like oil or water, they appear to be of different shapes, sometimes round, sometimes long, and so on. because of the movements of the wind. So, you know, if the wind's blowing, then the reflection in, like, water of the moon may be a little different than, you know, and it changes like that. Similarly, when the living entity, the soul, is absorbed in materialistic thoughts, he accepts various manifestations as his own identity because of ignorance. In other words, one is bewildered. The modes of material nature blow, and we have different states of consciousness when we die, and therefore we take different types of bodies. Just like when I was younger, I was quite upset with the body I got, actually. I actually would have appreciated when I was younger to grow up to be like a professional football player or something like that. And it just wasn't meant to be. I don't know if anyone knows what a football player in America looks like, but they're probably about an average of about 250 pounds, 6'4", you know, with muscles on their arms bigger than my leg, like that. So that was quite a letdown for me. And when I was in school, I used to really endeavor to try to develop a body so that I could be some, you know, hero or something like that. In America, the heroes are basically the good football players. But it wasn't meant to be. And because of that, I was greatly frustrated. And then when I came to Krishna consciousness and I heard I'm not my body, I was so relieved. It was such a... I'm this body, okay, you know, it's not me, it's just a temporary, you know, vehicle. So then I gradually, you know, got over this, you know, difficulty. And, you know, we have to accept whatever type of body we have. We have to accept whatever capabilities we have with these bodies and then do some work for Krishna. Do some prescribed duties. This is... a lot about Varnashram here in this chapter. But you do it for Krishna without attachment for the fruits. This is stated over and over again in Bhagavad Gita. You know, you do your duty, but akarmani vadakaraste mahapalishu kadachana. You're not entitled to the fruits. You've been given this body. It's not that I chose this body, obviously. If I would have chosen a body, it would have been a lot different, you know, than what I got. All right? Many of us feel the same way, you know, it's like especially materialists. So therefore, it's you didn't choose it. It was given to you. You don't own it. It's going to be taken away from you. So whoever owns it, which is, it's made of material elements and it's Krishna's energy, should be used in his service. And then the ability in man is also coming from Krishna. So therefore, whatever you use this body and whatever abilities you have with this body, you use it in Krishna's service. So anyway, going off to the subject matter of King Kamsa and Mother Devaki and Vasudeva a little bit, but he continued on trying to reason with Vasudeva that, hey, you know, you're going to move on anyway. What different, you know, we're going to die today or tomorrow, but you live on, all right? But then when Vasudeva saw that Kamsa was determined to still kill his sister despite everything that he said, and then he understood the innovators, as long as one has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. Do whatever you can to avoid death. It's our duty. Because this body is not ours. It was given to us. And it's ours to use in Krishna's service. So we should try to utilize it in Krishna's service. And if someone tries to kill us, we should endeavor to stop that from happening. So then, and it's natural when one will try to save himself first. That is natural. And so he, his other half, now that he's married, it's basically speaking like one's own self, the half of you, the wife, the better half, they say, I should save her under all circumstances. So then he promised. He said, listen, it's not Devaki that is destined to kill you. It's one of her sons. It's the eighth son. And I will not only hand over you the eighth son, but I will hand over you the first, second, third, fourth, fifth. I promise you. Whenever I have a son, I will hand him over to you to do as you like. So then, after understanding, knowing Vasudeva and his truthful nature, and also because Kamsa had it over him physically, you know, if you know, he would be able to get the child. Then he said, okay. He was pacified. And therefore, he was able to stop Kamsa from killing him. This is a Kshatriya. Even though he is not able to physically defeat Kamsa, he mentally defeated Kamsa. And because he mentally defeated Kamsa, later on, his eighth son, Krishna, killed him. And everything came according to the destiny. Kamsa was in such a quagmire because he was sending, he knew from Narada Muni who the eighth son of Vasudeva was. And he sent so many of his very powerful associates to kill Krishna, but he was not able to kill Krishna. And after repeated attempts, then he very boldly, very foolishly, very bravely, but also very foolishly, invited to Krishna for Krishna to come to a wrestling match. So this was the end of him. As we know what happened, Kamsa tried to make some more arrangements. When they come, you know, the elephant Kulabhayapida was stationed there and he tried to kill Krishna. And then the wrestlers, they tried to kill Krishna. And then Krishna killed Kamsa. So this is, Krishna is the ultimate Kshatriya. He speaks Bhagavad Gita and he behaves, actually Krishna, not so much Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna is so great that even he performs what may, from material perspective, is very abominable activities. But he's worshipable because he's like the sun. And the sun, it shines. It's so powerful that even it shines on dirty places and purifies them. So Krishna, he can perform what is ordinarily impure acts, and they're considered pure, and he's worshipable for them, and glorified. But then no one copies those acts that has any spiritual standing. Just like Krishna himself, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and he worshipped Krishna in the mood of the gopis, but he was a strict sannyasi, the strictest sannyasi that could ever be alive. One of his followers just had some conversation with an older woman, and he banned him from his association for the rest of his life, and he committed suicide. Such was the strictness of Lord Chaitanya's following the sannyas order. So it's the understanding is what is going on in the spiritual world as the highest. In the perverted reflection in the material world, it is the lowest. So Lord Krishna, he exhibited his activities of the spiritual world in the material world. So therefore, you know, quite bewildering to someone who is not understanding the activities of the spiritual world and the differences of the spiritual world with the activities of the material world. In the material world, we are not our bodies. So we try to enjoy our bodies. It's going to cause us a lot of difficulty. In the spiritual world, we are our bodies. Krishna is his body. And whatever pleases him, whatever activities he does with his body, it's worshipable. He is the source of everything. So these understandings are there. But of course, Maharaj Rishabhdev, he is Krishna, but he's acting only as a king. And as we will see in the next chapter, like Nayang Deo Deya Brajam Niloke Kastan Kanam Kamam Arate Vit Brajam Ye Tapo Divyam Putuka Yena Satvam Sudyadyasmad Brahma Sukhyam Tvanantam. Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, my dear boys, of all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs at each stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activities, one heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So he spoke very nicely to his 100 sons, giving very nice instructions, setting a very ideal example in his own personal life also. So Maharaj Rishabhdev, he is Krishna, and he is giving us very, very important instructions and giving us very exemplary behavior that we can follow, that we can practically follow. Unlike Krishna. But we adore both of them and worship both of them and understand these contradictions, they are rectified when one gets the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and understands things in proper perspective. So any questions or comments? There's a sign here, I'm supposed to end at 8:45, so we have a few minutes. Yes, Prabhu, he's an inquirer. He has listened very nicely, and he's getting great spiritual benefit because of that.
I was just thinking, you gave that example of that sannyasi. So I've heard some temple presidents also not chanting their rounds. So how is it that they are able to carry on for whatever time? Why does Krishna allow? Because that is not the standard, especially. Yes.
So the question is, one thing we're looking forward to when we get our new temple is a room with good acoustics. Because it's very hard to hear in this room. You have to be really anxious to hear here. Because the acoustics are so bad. I heard what he said, luckily. There are sometimes a devotee doesn't chant their rounds and he's in some position like a sannyasi. How do they carry on? Well, they carry on for some time and Krishna allows them to carry on. And in due course of time, if they don't rectify themselves, something will happen. And they will be exposed. That has happened over and over again, not only with sannyasis that didn't follow, but also grihasthas that didn't follow, especially those in leadership positions, brahmacharis that didn't follow. All the, you know, if you do something, somehow or other, Krishna makes some arrangement so that you get exposed, especially if one is not, if one is a position of authority and one is not practicing Krishna consciousness properly. Like, it's over and over again in Srila Prabhupada's books. Chant 16 rounds, follow the four good principles, get up early in the morning and go to Mangalartik and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, associate with devotees, you know, all these things. This is so important. Prabhupada, he stressed them over and over and again. And if one is a leader and if one is not doing these things, then eventually, in due course of time, one will lose, he will lose his taste for spiritual life, and he will be exposed and he will be removed from his position of authority, which is a very embarrassing thing for a leader. One who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death, as Krishna told Arjuna, because Arjuna was saying, I can't fight my cousin brothers and my martial guru, and Krishna had to go to the point of showing Arjuna in the universal form that I've killed him already. So you just do your duty as a Kshatriya and you'll be victorious. They're not their bodies. They're going to continue to live. You're doing it by my order. Just do it. I will give you the potency. I will give you the power. Yes, Prabhu, another inquirer, another great soul.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Is this question for the devotee? Also, I have some question and some master solution. You say that some president or some leader is not chanting 60 rounds or something like that. You know, but you must know very well exactly. But if you know very well, try to make a friend with him and try also to help to him, not criticize.
Very good.
If you do like this, I think so, everyone in any temple, in any house, or any place you visit, the devotees can develop a spiritual life.
This is a good point.
Okay.
Thank you. This is, otherwise, I'm telling you because of coming from bad sangskaras and joining ISKCON earlier, we were a little bit hard on each other. And we weren't very compassionate. And if someone wasn't chanting his rounds, we were very quick, and they were a president, very quick to remove him, kick him out. Prabhupada was very upset. There was one temple president that was not chanting his rounds, was not getting up early, and so on and so forth, and had done a lot of good service, and they removed him from being the president and put someone else in the post of president. Prabhupada went to that temple and put him back in position and tried to help him. So this mood of a devotee is very important. If someone is having difficulty in a position of authority, just like Vasudev went through so many different scenarios before offering his children to Kamsa to kill, that was the last resort. So similarly, the last resort is to remove someone who has been honored and make it so that, because dishonor is worse than death, try to help them and encourage them and do whatever you can to get the person in authority, whatever one's in their potency, you know, maybe ask someone that they respect to talk to them and encourage them. That's all we need in this world is encouragement. And we take encouragement and help from those that are senior to us and who we respect. So sometimes someone may, a position, in a position of authority, may be not acting properly. But if you're junior to him, you should not directly approach him. And this is exemplified in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Chaitanya's servant Govinda was asked very humbly by Sanatana Goswami, I have these sores all over my body. And Lord Chaitanya, he embraces me. And I'm suffering so much because it's dirty, and Lord Chaitanya is coming up to my body. And should I leave and go somewhere else? And I think you should, Govinda. Lord Chaitanya heard of this. He chastised Govinda. Sanatana Goswami is so senior to you. You should worship him. You should never try to instruct him. And even though the Sanatana Goswami was asking, it was against the order. Lord Chaitanya said, no, this is wrong. So if we see someone in a position of authority who may be our authority, and then, okay, who is that? Who does that person look up to? Because for us to be healthy in spiritual life, we should have all types of relationships. We should have those that we take instruction from. We should have those that we are friends with. And we should have those that we give instruction to. All three relationships are important for all of us. So all of us, if there is someone who may be in a position of authority and he doesn't respect anybody, then that is a very difficult situation. And some other type of action other than encouragement may be required. But otherwise, try one's best to help that person is definitely there. Any other questions? It's late. People have their one more question? Okay. Hare Krishna.
I just have a comment, if that's okay. You mentioned about Krishna and Braj, and sometimes it appears he transgresses religious principles, but according to Acharyas, Krishna never goes against Shastra. So even in Braj, when Lord Brahma stole away the coward boys, at that time, all the gopas and the gopis, Krishna took the form of all the gopas. And at that time, the gopis actually got married to the gopas. So actually, Krishna was actually really married to all the gopis of Vrindavan. So even though it appears that Krishna breaks religious principles, he actually never transgresses, religious principles. Right. So,
Hare Krishna. These are the intricacies of Krishna Leela. They're amazing. That's how we become so attracted to Krishna, because he's so merciful that he comes into this material world and creates a drama with everything. There's war, there's romance, there's intrigue. Everything is there. And so much so, and we can meditate on these pastimes continuously 24 hours a day and never reach the end of these pastimes. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sama Veda Bhaktivinoda ki.